doctors, nurses, and do the patients really care on this week's episode of Insights in Nursing. It's another episode of Insights in Nursing. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the pod medic, and I'm here with my usual panel of special guests. First off, I have Terry Pollack from the Nurse Ratched's Place blog. Terry, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you know, it's always great to hear what you have to say and your opinion. And we had a lot of fun the last time. And I think I found some interesting articles to run with this time. So we'll jump into that in a second. But first, I want to also welcome our other guest, special guest again this week, Kim McAllister from the Emergia blog. Kim, how you doing?
Doing good.
And we're going to kick things off because it seems like there, when we were looking at articles this week, and I was kind of doing a search to see what kind of news articles with nursing related topics were out there, it seemed like there were a lot of articles comparing nurses and doctors and their ability to assess or manage patients. And then, Kim, you latched on to the one article about a doctor transitioning to nursing. Tell me a little bit about what you found there.
This was a physician educated in Albania, and she had come to the United States, and she discovered that in the United States, nursing had the majority of the patient contact, whereas in Albania, it was the physicians that would have the majority of the patient contact. So when she came to this country, she realized that she wanted to be a registered nurse, and because that's, she liked having the extra contact that she had with patients as a nurse in this country. Well, the article, the way the article phrased it, and I think it was from the actual writer of the article, was, and let's see, this was in the, just for the record, this was in the salemnews.com, and the article states that she, it said she realized that it was the nurses who handled the majority of the direct patient care, but she decided to get an additional degree for a lesser position so that she could work with patients. And which just, you know me, steam coming out of the ears. And I, again, you know, it's not a lesser profession. It is a distinct profession. Own body of knowledge, own body of research, and its own accountability. And it's like deja vu. I am so tired of having to repeat that over and over and over. But this particular doctor slash nurse seemed to understand the difference in the professions and chose to be an RN while she's in this country. One thing that she did say that was different is she had to, quote, take orders. I don't take orders from anybody. I implement a care plan that is initiated, at least in the emergency department, by a physician. If I do not agree with the order, I do not carry out the order, and I make arrangements for it to be done. Or tell the physician, explain why I am having a problem with the order. So that was a little disturbing that she thinks she takes orders, and the fact that they saw nursing as a lesser position. And it seems like I've been saying that for 30 years. It's getting a little tiring of constantly having to explain what nursing is. Maybe we're not doing a real good job out there of putting out what we do.
Well, and do you think this maybe her interpretation may have to do with her background, and maybe the nurse-physician relationship in Albania is different and is more is less collaborative as we have here in the States? I think most would agree that, especially in my experiences in the ER and yours clearly, Terry, I'm assuming as well, is that, you know, it's much more of a collaborative relationship. And maybe it's not that collaborative. Maybe it's more old school in an Albanian nurse patient or nurse physician relationship?
Well, I would say that, except that she was referring to her position now in this country as a nurse, that she had to take orders. And that, so my impression was, you know, she was talking about her view of the relationship from the nursing perspective. Now, my impression of what she described in Albania was that the nurses were totally behind the scenes, which I find interesting, how you can be a nurse and be behind the scenes. But
were they really?
Yeah.
I found that kind of interesting, too. I mean, when I was reading the article, I was like, oh, my God, where's my handmaiden hat? Let me put it on. Do we just go back
we're back to caps, you know, already?
Oh, my God. You know, are we like 50 years behind here? It was interesting. It really did kind of hit my button, too. But I think Kim's right. I don't see that this physician/nurse was the one who was really putting the damper on the nursing profession. It was the interpretation of the journalist who was writing the piece. I mean, and I think most doctors understand that we're not a lesser position. We are just a different position. One time, I was kidding around with some doctors, and then I was speaking with one that I really liked. And he said to me, well, do you think I'm a good doctor? And I said, you're so smart, you could be a nurse. And he thanked me because he knows how much I love nursing and that I'm really picky.
You don't give that kind of praise to just everyone, do you?
That's right.
Yeah, I think sometimes some physicians, not all, but I get the impression that some feel that the fact that nurse practitioners have an education in some diagnostics and can actually work with a patient over the course of an illness or deal with chronic illness, it seems like they find that somewhat threatening. And in reality, there's not enough of them to go around. And study after study is showing that your outcome, if you're followed by a nurse practitioner or a physician, is very, very similar, if not somewhat improved because of access, if you are seen by a nurse practitioner. And I know there have been objections from some physicians that they are so steeped in the science and the art of diagnostics through their entire medical school. Actually, that's what they do. That's the heart of the profession. They diagnose and treat illness. And to think that a registered nurse with extra education that isn't a medical education can come in and actually diagnose, I think some of them, it's not necessarily they see it as a threat, but I think there's some question as to how they're able to function as a diagnostician without that very heavy, focused experience background in that the doctors get. My attitude is they come at it from a different standpoint. They still have the science background. They still have to have the physiology, the pharmacology, and to be able to diagnose, and the ability and the education is there. And like physicians, it may vary the ability from one nurse practitioner to another. But the ability is there. And now they're starting to focus on requiring a doctorate of nursing practice. So there's even more education now going into the advanced practice nursing area. So I don't think they see it as a threat. I think they are concerned that the education may not be to the level that they receive. And then my attitude is it's comparable, and being nursing, it may differ. in some ways and in some focus. Because just because nurses are diagnosing and acting as advanced practice nurses doesn't mean that they have taken the nursing out of what they do. And that's the key difference. So I think that they can be just as effective, if not as effective.
And there's been a lot of stories, and some of the stories we saw this week that I picked up, you know, that's a study out of the Journal of Advanced Nursing looking at a nurse practitioner in a breast cancer clinic compared to a consulting breast surgeon. And are they able to do breast exams and identify potential tumors, differentiate between tumors and cysts and other non-malignant growths or situations? And apparently, according to the study, and the science stands there, and this is not the only article like this, and so there are similar articles in other specialties, but the nurse practitioner who has received training and assessment is able to assess and come up with the same level of quality in identifying and predicting and then ordering the correct testing. And we're seeing this again and again and again. And is it's you're right. We come at it from a different direction, I think, completely. Terry?
Yeah, sometimes just looking at a problem from a different angle gives an advantage if you're working in a team. Sort of like the old story about the blind people feeling parts of the elephant, and everyone comes up with their own idea because they're just have their own little way of looking at things. Does that make sense?
I think it does. And yet they all end up saying it's an elephant, but they start, one of them starts and says, well, you know, you have this long trunk, and other ones looking at the ears, and they all end up at elephant, but they come at it from a different direction.
Well, also, too, there are standardized ways of assessing. And whether you are a advanced practice nurse or whether you are a physician, assessing and the standardized techniques are there. Where the expertise comes in is in the amount of experience that you have. So a nurse practitioner who does nothing but women's health and has vast experience doing a number of breast exams and has, again, that sort of intuition, same as doctors have when something's not quite right. While the assessment is the same, the amount of experience, is what makes what levels out the outcome. So a nurse just fresh out of school may or may not have the requisite experience to assess as well as a physician who's been in practice for, 10 years. Give them the same amount of experience and your outcome is going to be equitable. Is that the word I'm looking for? Yeah.
I think the studies are showing that again and again and again, and yet there seems to be continued argument. And I want to be careful because we all know physicians who are very pro nurse and interested in giving letting nurses have more ability to handle patient care and management. So we don't want to lump all the physicians into the same bucket here, but we still hear the same cautions that come out. What if? But the science again and again seems to show that there's no significant difference between people making these assessments, ordering certain tests based on a presentation. It seems to be very similar. And how many studies do we have to do like this before the system changes?
Well, the system may have to change because there aren't the number of physicians that are needed, and there won't be as our healthcare system changes, and we need to utilize all the resources that we have. And I think this is going to be the perfect time for advanced practice nursing to really step forward and be a force.
But how much education is enough? I mean, you talked about the nurses getting needing more advanced degrees, that the push right now and the standard seems to be moving very quickly towards a requirement for nurse practitioners to have a doctorate of nursing practice. And I guess I'm for that. I think there needs to be something. But I know, Terry, you found an article that was not in a healthcare setting, but was talking about the overeducated public, that all these people that are basically professional students, they don't have any real-world applicable knowledge. And are we in danger of going that route? Where I think one of the problems that some physicians have is that they spend so much time on the technique and the technical knowledge that they spend very little time in learning to actually deal with the patient, the human being behind the patient.
Yeah, I was reading an article in the on the Huffington Post, and they were talking about, and this was more than just the healthcare setting, like you said, it was just in general how our society is pushing to advance more education to the point where even people with PhDs can't find work. They're put in settings and they really can't function because all they have learned is theory. And they kind of get out of touch and out of step with what the job is, you know, whatever setting they're in. And I've seen this, and I know we've talked about this before. In nursing, you get these kids that go from BSN. They skip over bedside nursing completely, and they go into an MSN to PhD program. And it's like, well, that's really good. You know all the nursing theory. Well, bravo, good for you. Can you do the job? Do you know what nursing is? Can you take care of a patient? And unfortunately, I'm seeing more and more kind of this disconnect between the hierarchy of nursing. The higher up you go, the less they know about real world stuff. Kim has done it, in my opinion, the right way. She started out as the bedside nurse, and as her career developed, she went on and got an education. So she's one of these nurses who can blend practical experience with the theory and come up with, you know, some innovative and probably earth-shattering sort of conclusions that we'll hear about. I'll be reading your articles in journals, I'm sure. But, I mean, this article did point out a lot of kids, for lack of a better term, are educated idiots.
I like that. Well, you know, and I told you this earlier, Terry, but Kim didn't hear it. You know, in paramedic, in the EMS setting, on my other side, as I take one hat off, put the other one on, but we call people zero to hero. They never become an EMT basic, where they have to ride and do basic care and just learn the basic skills of assessment and vital signs. And, you know, we don't need you to know how to give major medications. You should learn how to manage pain through positioning and ice packs and good splinting techniques and things like that. And then go on and become a paramedic and get that advanced practice certification or licensure. And yet there are more and more programs out there that are these, what we call zero to hero. They go right in and they come out as a paramedic, and all they want to do is start IVs, push meds, and intubate the patient. And he just needs a Band-Aid.
I have some paramedic stories, but I think I'll hold them.
That's okay. Well, I'll have you on the medic cast, and we'll talk about them over there.
I love the paramedics, but it's pretty funny sometimes when the new ones start.
Oh, yeah.
I'll hold those.
Well, but it's true, and I think it's true in a lot of situations. And Terry, you talked about the new nurses coming out, you know, when they come out and they've got all this education and this theory, but we all know application is different, and it really is the experience with patients, because nobody is that perfect patient. Nobody looks like the picture in your AMP textbook. It is you know, every patient's different. Every patient slightly has a slight difficulty something when you go to assess them, whether because their blood pressure is hard to hear, because they're obese, or there are all kinds of little tricks that you have to learn to be able to assess different types of patients in different situations and different settings. And the only way to learn that is by doing it.
Now, my experience has been, or my perception's a little bit different than Terry's, in that almost all the nursing nurses with doctorate degrees that I've been involved with, who've been my professors or who I'm working side by side with, all have extensive patient care experience. I have yet to meet one that has gone the stepping stones up without at least working as a staff nurse or a community health nurse, or much before they got up into the education. And they still, during summers, back when I was in school in the archaic days, they worked in intensive care and med-surg during the summer. So I have yet to, although when I was younger, it seemed like when I looked up at the ANA and the NLN and back then CNA, while it seemed to me like these people were old gray-haired ladies, there were very rarely men then, old gray-haired ladies who were out of touch. In reality, when you look at their background, they came from a very, very strong patient care background. And of course, Terry, you work in a different environment than I do, so you may see more of that, whereas I'm in a patient care environment. I have yet to see someone who actually could get accepted from their basic nursing education into a graduate degree program without having some experience.
Well, a lot of the experience that these people that I know now that I'm working with, it was a long time ago. They were bedside nurses in the past, but it was a long time ago. And I'm sitting on, let me rephrase that. I was invited to come. For some reason, people just think I'm really opinionated, but I was invited to come.
No.
Really? And talk to some people at our hospital who are of high military rank to give them my opinion on what could improve patient care and the relationship between the bedside nurse and management. And I gave these folks a challenge. I said, why don't you come down out of your silos, out of the ivory tower, and come work as a bedside nurse for a day, or shadow a bedside nurse for a day. You are giving us mandates and creating policies that do not correlate and do not blend with what's going on at the bedside. And someone on this particular panel looked at me and said, but that's not their job. Being a bedside nurse is not their job. And I said, that's exactly the point. Back in the 3-year diploma programs, you know, when dinosaurs roamed the earth, an administrator would only be a boss over a group of people that they totally understood every nuance of your job position. A DOM back then could come down on the unit and run the floor because he or she understood everything that they were responsible for, every nuance that they were responsible for. They could perform that job. You don't get that anymore. And you could have heard crickets chirp in the room. I think they learned two things. They were a little out of touch and never asked Terry Pollack for her opinion unless you wanted an honest answer.
Well, clearly they haven't read some of your more provocative blog posts. But
a lot of them don't even understand what a blog is. That's kind of sad.
You know, when they ask, Nick, you should just print a few out, keep them with you. And when they ask, just say, read these and get back to me. Nurses eat their young, right?
Have your people call my people.
If you still want me on after you read this, you'll know what you're getting.
I'm still waiting to hear back about my suggestion, by the way.
Oh, it's an excellent suggestion. I mean, there are all kinds of situations where management that doesn't come directly from the system over which they've been placed makes ridiculous rules and ridiculous statements of policy changes that seem like a good idea at the time, but just don't work and fail miserably because they have no basis in how things actually work. And I think your suggestion is an excellent one in those situations where, like you said, I mean, my experience in the hospital is that, you know, the nurse manager in facilities in which I've been are, boy, just super knowledgeable. And my feeling was that they could come down and do any nursing job in the hospital. Maybe that's changed or is changing, but that was my experience too, and it hasn't been that long ago. But I certainly would like to think that would be the norm, but apparently not. And so you're right, they should come shadow. Heck, if they shadowed us for half a day, it would probably give them huge insights into what's going on.
So do you think it'll happen?
Well, I don't, probably not, because that would require them to get their hands dirty.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's awful.
Well, you know, then nowadays, maybe back then when nursing was very prescribed and you did X amount of things and it was, you know, not as specialized or as complicated as it is now, you could go down in shadow and actually go down into where you know, you would be promoted from the ranks. You could go down and dive in and do patient care. Well, I cannot go up to the administrator and do their job any more than I could go up and watch them and understand what they do, and they could come down and watch me to kind of get a little bit of insight as to what I deal with every day, but they could not come down and do my job, and I wouldn't expect them to be able to come down and do my job. What I ask from them is an understanding of what my job entails, and therefore, you know, like you said, making, if you're going to make policies and procedures, then they're practical and they're not, they add, they enhance your practice. They don't add to the burden of the practice. But nowadays with the specialties in nursing, I seriously wonder if I could walk into a telemetry unit after I've been gone for 20 years from inpatient nursing, walk up to a med-surg or telemetry unit and function in one day without a hell of a lot of orientation. Things have changed so dramatically and they continue to change so quickly that short of having basically just a little insight into what you're dealing with, I can't imagine a nursing administrator, you know, being able to come down and say, okay, well, now I'm going to function here on MedSurg. I don't know that that's reasonable in this day and age, although I have to admit my very first one did just that, but that was a long time ago.
Well, it's not so much about the technology or the nursing practice itself. Let me give you an example. We have implemented new policies on giving medications out in the morning. We will have maybe roughly 25 patients. We'll have 7 nurses. And we were given a policy. You have to give out all your medications within an hour of them being prescribed or being scheduled, and you have to pull it out of one machine using one computer in a room that is the size of a linen closet. Now, imagine, if you will, a bunch of people lined up waiting to give their medications. It's sort of reminiscent of a very large family. First thing in the morning, all seven kids lined up outside of the bathroom waiting to get in.
So are some of them doing a little dance?
The medicine dance.
And you have administrators standing there, you know, up in some office wondering why we're not meeting standards. You know, we're not beating the clock. They're standing there in their office with their little stopwatch wondering what the glitch is. Well, if you came out of your ivory tower, you would understand that you're asking the impossible. Yet, if you cannot perform to those standards, you're being penalized. It affects your raises. It affects morale. It affects patient care. I mean, my fear is, and the other nurses are afraid too, that if we keep getting pushed under these circumstances in this setting, that we're going to start making errors.
Right.
It's just the simple things. If people in administration really understood what happens on a nursing unit, they wouldn't make stupid rules.
Most of the stupid rules that there are a lot of them that, or at least I think they're stupid, don't necessarily come from the hospital administration. They come from external, they come from JCO requirements. I can
More educated idiots. There you go.
Yeah, and
get
it's
started.
Yeah, and most of it's them going, okay, we want this, and this done. And the hospital really has no choice. If they want to keep their accreditation, they have to abide by those guidelines. And so almost everything I can say is stupid about my job is a JCO issue.
Well, and that's the problem. I mean, JCO has, like so many things like this, they have well-meaning intention, but they come down with rules and they make blank. They want this blanket compliance without any consideration that in certain situations there may be a better way to do things. And so administrators, all they see is, I need this accreditation. And the quickest way to make JCO go away is to do it the way JCO wants it done, rather than making a case for this. We agree with your end goal of patient safety, but requiring medications to be dispensed in this way and requiring patients to receive certain medications within a certain time frame don't get together very well, and they don't play well together, and we can't afford to put in three more Pyxis systems because right. In order to meet this 1 hour requirement. So therefore, how do we do this in such a way to better manage the ultimate patient outcome, which is better patient outcomes? And I don't have an answer. I'm just glad JCO doesn't monitor podcasts.
Or blogs.
Oh, you need to use a different type font when you're talking about. when you're actually making up something about a patient that you're talking about, we need you to italicize, but put it inside brackets and.
Don't give them any ideas.
Please don't start. No.
There you go. There's a topic for somebody's blog. If JCO ran healthcare blogs.
That's hilarious. God. You have to have X amount of words.
That's right.
Oh, my God. How funny.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I think we need to really just continue to focus on the patient. And I think that's something nurses do very well. And maybe that's the reason why the Albanian doctor wanted to transition into more direct patient care. And in the U.S. system, that is nursing care. You know, the different places that are looking at using more nurse practitioners for primary care provider positions, certainly I think is a good direction to move. But there's just, is there resistance only by the medical community? Do we see, or do you think that there's still a lack of understanding by the public at large on what nurses can and can't do?
Oh, definitely. That's what they continually think that, and I still get the question, why didn't you go to medical school? And or why, if you're going to get your, somebody asked me this 2 weeks ago, why are you going to get your doctorate in nursing? If you're going to get that much education, why don't you go to medical school? And my jaw dropped. It's like, I don't want to be a physician. I want to be a nurse.
And it comes back to why that writer wrote it as getting a lesser degree.
Yeah, yeah. Because maybe that's how the writer, and without being, I mean, I'm sure it wasn't meant maliciously, I think that's the common view. There are doctors, and then there are nurses, and they're certainly not on the same level for much of the population. And yet I know people who swear by their nurse practitioners. And I'll say, who's your regular doctor when I'm triaging? And they'll say, oh, I have a nurse practitioner, and then give me her name. And these are usually practitioners that are working with physicians in their office. But pretty much there are some nurse practitioners, and that the patients will automatically say, I don't see a doctor, I see so-and-so. Oh, great. And, you know, I write that down.
Well, and how many of us have had a patient where they're having trouble with managing some aspect of their health care, or they really just don't understand something that's going on, and you turn around and you put them in touch with a nurse practitioner, or you ask them to go and ask for the
Jamie,
nurse.
Sorry about that.
I'm sorry. We're cracking up. There's a dog in the background, folks.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. People have dogs. They understand. If, you know, one of the reasons we have dogs is so they'll bark on occasion. So that happens. No, I was going to say that how many of us have taken, had somebody that was having trouble dealing with some aspect of their health, and they were under continuing care for one problem or another, and we've turned them and put them in touch with a nurse or a nurse practitioner in a medical practice and said, go talk to this person. Go ask to be scheduled to speak to this person, because they get better. They get a different type of care. And I think that in the situation and the way things are handled right now, nurse practitioners have more freedom to spend more time with their patients.
I agree with that. I love seeing nurse practitioners. I feel like I used to, when I could go see the same doctor every time and we could talk about things, and nurse practitioners right now at least have the luxury of still, I think, having a little more time with their patients than physicians do in the office setting. I know I've heard a lot of military doctors tell me they don't want to leave military service because they've heard what it's like in the civilian world for physicians. It's almost like the HMOs are the ones holding the stopwatch, and you have exactly 5 minutes to see a patient, period. And I don't think the nurse practitioners are quite under that kind of strain yet.
I think we've kind of wrapped up the topics here. I think really the overarching comment is that we need to do more, I think, to encourage people to understand what nurses do. I think nursing's come very far, but clearly, based on what we're seeing here and based on what these articles seem to say about the society's understanding of what we do, that there's still farther to go.
Yep,
definitely.
So, Kim, where can we find you on the web?
At emergyblog.com.
Are you going to be going to a blog world this year?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we're doing the whole med blog track again. A little different this time, but we're all going to be there. So that should be a lot of fun.
I can't wait. That's great. And Terry, where can we find you on the web?
NurseRatchetsPlace.com.
And I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. You can find my nursing program over at nursingshow.com. And, of course, you'll find this show and the links we talked about in this episode over at insightsinnursing.com. So check that out. And in the meantime, we'll be back again soon with some more nursing news and our unique take on it. And maybe we can bring a few other guests into the mix along with Kim and Terry and mix it up even more. Although I don't think we have any trouble getting some opinions. What do you think?
Kim,
that's never a problem.
Did he just call us opinionated?
I've never been so insulted in my life.
The key word is us. The key word is us. I include all of us in that. Oh, well, Kim, Terry, it's great to have you on the show. And I'm looking forward to getting you guys on again soon.
Great. Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks for having us, Jamie.